Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the American Israelite Newspaper Podcast, the Let There Be Light Podcast. And today is Thursday, April 28th. It is the 27th day of Nisan, 5782. And I am one of your co-hosts, Netan L. Ted Deutsch, and I'm here with my special co-host,
Pam Geller.
Do you have a nickname? Like, Julie has like five nicknames.
Oh, when I was younger, they said everyone called me Pammy Whammy, which I hated.
Pammy Whammy? Yeah. So my sister is Pam, too, and you used to call her Pammy Map.
Well, Map. Because Map. Map is Pam spelled backwards.
So I know. Like, so we used to call her Map, and she would like hated it.
That's true.
I hated Map.
I was called Map, too. And
you were called Map. Pam Map.
But that is honestly how I get people to remember my name.
Map?
I say it's Map spelled backwards.
Just remember that, folks. Okay, so if you know someone named Pam, go up and call them Map. They might probably kick you in the leg or something like that. Anyway,
or they may get a kick out of it that you know how to spell backwards.
Out of it. Okay, so we are at the top story this week is Majestic Care purchases Cedar Village. So I found out about this about a couple of weeks ago that Cedar Village got sold. And it's really been bouncing around for, I guess, a couple of weeks now. So I did some digging. And, of course, you know, being the intrepid reporter that I am, and found out that Majestic Care is like a company in Indiana. They own, I think, 27 nursing homes or facilities. It's in there somewhere. And then Majestic Care is owned by this company called Marks Development Group. Now, Marks Development Group is a company based in New York. And if you go to the internet and go Marks Development Group and look them up on Google, what pops up is
the Marks Development Group, New York. It's right. A white and yellow logo, MDG.
Right.
Actually,
right.
My dad's initials.
Right.
For real estate development.
Okay.
Yeah, the owner is David Marks.
Right.
He seems to be a pretty impressive man.
He's impressive.
Yeah.
Well, so they own a bunch of facilities.
They own a lot of properties.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're in real estate.
Well, it doesn't say whether it was started by him or his grandfather or
I don't know,
father.
But this Bernie McGinnis is the...
He's the CEO of Majestic.
Right.
So I was thinking, you know, Majestic is based in Indiana and Cardon Associates is based in Indiana, too. So they must know each other. They must know who they are.
I think they got to be competitors, which is interesting why they would buy it. I mean, they both operate in Ohio and Indy.
Right, yeah. Right, right.
But there's still, the article calls out that there are over 227 seniors that are cared for there.
Okay.
So that seems like it's grown, though, since Cedar.
Okay. Well, I don't know how big the facility, I don't know how many beds, I think in healthcare they go by the number of beds you have and stuff like that.
That's true. Yeah. But they don't talk about the beds in the article, but they did talk about this significant campus-wide remodel of up to $1 million.
Yeah. So new carpeting, new paint, new all facility, you know, in the common areas.
I know that Cardin had upgraded the kitchen.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought they did.
Okay. All right. So please check it out. And if you want to do a little research, do some research into who Marks Development Group is. And then that's who owns Majestic. All right. So okay, moving on.
I'm just going to call out the Bicentennial ad. And in particular, our shared stories that just opened up at the Museum Center. And it has like 200 years of Jewish life. And one of the fun things that you can see there is this humongous clock by Jonah Joseph.
Jonah Joseph.
Tell us, Ted, who was Jonah Joseph?
So he was the original Jewish man that came to Cincinnati, Ohio. And he was one of the founders of the Chestnut Street Cemetery in 1821. He came in 1817, and he was a clockmaker and a watchmaker, and I was actually at the press conference this morning, and many of your compatriots from the Federation were there.
They're there,
and I was talking to everybody, and then I took photos, and I brought back a photo for you of the clock.
I mean,
it's like about 8 feet tall.
It's beautiful.
It's a big clock.
Did Dr. Zola ever tell you the story about Jonas? And he was like because he was the first Jew, and this woman had heard about him or something, and she went to go get her clock, her watch fixed or something.
Right.
And she met him and she found out he was Jewish, and she was like, "You don't have horns?" Like, she was shocked that he didn't have horns.
I think we brought up, we might have read that from the
in the news or something.
From the pages. I think article, that story was in from the pages that we've gone through over the last, you know, how many 160 episodes?
Yeah.
Of this podcast.
Yeah. So if you want to learn about
that, going, that's at the
Jewish
Museum Center.
History, please get down there. You can learn about Cincinnati Reds, everything. So many things that Jewish.
Well, also there was they had one of the original copies of the Israelite there.
Yeah.
So I was going through the exhibit and I'm, you know, doing pictures, blah blah blah, talking to people, looking at everything, and I said, "Well, you know what? There's a thing for 1854, but there was no American Israelite founding there." And I was like, I said that to the curator. curator of the exhibits, like right there. I said, "You know, why is there nothing from the American Israelite here?" She goes, "Oh, Ted, you don't know what you're talking about. Come over here." So she takes me over to this other place, and there's one of the original copies of the American Israelite. I said, "Oh, I didn't see this before."
That's good.
She's really nice. And she went through it, and then we kibitzed about it for a little bit. And then actually the videographer from Museum Center said, "Ted, would you like to do like an interview?"
Said, "Of course I do."
I said, no. "No, I'm just like a humble guy. I'm very humble.
You're totally humble.
I'm like the most humble guy you know."
That is exactly how I would describe you.
Exactly. And that's the story I'm sticking to also.
Okay. We all like to imagine ourselves certain ways.
All right, so May 12th through the 22nd is Cincinnati. That's 10 days.
Yeah.
At the Aronoff Center, Cincinnati Ballet Bold Moves Festival.
That's going to be a nice show.
All right, then you've got Shared Grief, Different Customs, and Interfaith Look at Funeral and Mourning Customs. That's through JCGC.
Of course, yeah.
All right, Mayerson. They will have an ad in the paper next week just talking about this. Wow. And then May 19th through September 4th, Holy Spark, celebrating 50 years of women in the rabbinate.
And that's by Abby and the Skirball, yeah.
And that's actually, they will have an ad in the paper next week also.
So thank you.
Which leads into your next story.
Thank you to those people.
Right, which leads into your story on page 3 about the Skirball receiving an award for their website.
Well, I wanted to take a moment just to talk about the HUC story. I know you didn't want to talk
about
it.
No, that's okay.
But I just wanted it, you know, you guys had a nice interview with Dr.
Right.
Michael Mayer,
right?
Who is a professor emeritus, yeah, I said it right, of Jewish history at HUC.
Right.
But I just wanted to call out that we will still have rabbinical students at the Cincinnati campus till 2026.
Right.
I mean, because we have HUC students in Israel right now that they'll come to Cincinnati.
Then
we have
their first year. The first year you go to Jerusalem.
Right.
Because you want to learn the language and start, you know, studying.
And they had already picked Cincinnati, so they're going to be coming here. That class is going to be coming here, and then plus the people that are leaving, but I know we all mourn leaving them.
Yes.
Abby's website at which Abby Schwartz is kind of overseas.
HUC Skirball.
Yeah, the HUC Skirball Museum, and the website was recognized by Ohio Museums Association.
Okay.
It was a budget level 2 gold award.
Okay.
Yeah, for 2021 visual communications. I mean, that's awesome, Abby. Good job.
Yeah. Wait, hold on a second.
Oh, you wanted to talk about.
All right. Also, you will see an ad on page 3 about the Federation of Jewish Men's Club, since Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio region presents How to React to Anti-Semitism, which is in Columbus, May 13th, 14th, and 15th. And they've got different events.
One's going to be about social media,
right?
How to navigate through hyperbole and misinformation for the truth, which is a big issue. And then the other one is the workplace and community, ways to deal with anti-Semitism. And then the last one, which is at the Columbus JCC, which is a panel discussion, how to handle anti-Semitism. Oh, and anti-Israel sentiments on campus. Well, that's relevant for now. We were talking about earlier with my daughter going to college next year.
Right. And I think that I was saying, you know, it's important to teach the kids now before they go this you're going to be facing stuff you've never faced. You've been living in this little cocoon.
I know. You have coming up here about American and then Tufts, I mean, those are good schools and seeing issues with.
Right. So it's probably important to maybe to have JCRC put something out for these kids.
We do. We usually do. I don't know, but we do have resources.
Okay. Yeah. Because they need to be prepared when they get to, you know, whether it's UC, Miami, Ohio U, OSU, that there's people there that are, would you say, fomenting dissent amongst the people and trying to get their point across so that they understand that the Jewish kids that are going there are faced with, I don't know, obstacles, would you say? It's not obstacles. It's just a different point of view.
They're going to run into different perspectives that are going
to... we've never really dealt with before, and they need to be prepared for that so that they can, you know, have an open mind.
Even know how to, you know, their Hillels will have resources too to...
Good. That's a good point. If you're questioning what's going on, go talk to the Hillel, and they've probably dealt with this before, and it's an ongoing thing, and they'll have people there that are
they'll have their local resources there to help yeah, navigate it. And because you want to get involved in the governments at your campus.
Yes. Very good. Good point.
Okay. So the next one is about Ari Gutman, which she is a child. Her grandmother's, Ariel Grubbs. Gutman is named after her grandmother's cousin, Ari, one of the estimated 1.5 million children killed in the Shoah.
Yeah.
And she talks about how the responsibility to carry on the stories that she learned.
Right.
And after her grandfather, Papa Simon, passed away in 2014, that she felt this enormity that she felt like she had to carry, that she was that beacon, which is a... in his absence.
Right. For someone that's gone through that and their family's gone through that, it's also you have to, I guess you'd have to say, be prepared for the limelight, you know, because that is going to kind of shine a limelight on you.
But she felt the responsibility to be an ambassador for that. She's like, to honor my ancestors' stories and to continue to support organizations that are dedicated to preserving their history.
Yes. That's a good article on page 4.
I agree.
All right. So below that is the weekly calendar. And what are we talking about this week?
We got Yoms coming up.
So is it Yoms or Yoms?
I say Yoms, right?
Yoms.
Yoms means day in Hebrew.
Oh, Yoms.
Yeah.
Oh, Yoms, day, yeah. Hebrew. Oh, now it all makes sense. See, you learn something new every day here at the American Israelite Podcast. All right. So starting this Sunday... is the Yom HaShoah commemorative, remembering the past, standing up to anti-Semitism and hate. Today, it's from 2 to 3 at the Meyerson JCC. So this Sunday, May 1, 2 to 3, Meyerson JCC.
And I'm just going to, during Yoms, I mean, we got a whole bunch of Jewish professionals going up to Cleveland, including myself, for a conference. I think we have like 50 people going.
Okay.
So that's nice. And then the Fertility Foundations looks like they're doing a support group, which is always wonderful.
Yes.
Then we go back to Yom's on Tuesday, Yom HaZikaron ceremony.
Oh, you're talking about May 2nd, the J-Pro 22.
Yeah. Yeah. We're leaving Monday.
Okay.
Going up there for the week. So let's take a moment. Do you think everyone knows what Yom HaShoah means and what Yom HaZikaron means?
Well, Yom HaShoah is the remembrance of the Holocaust, Yom HaShoah of the days of the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And Yom HaZikaron means?
The memory of the fallen soldiers.
Okay. And that is Tuesday, May 3rd from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Meyerson JCC.
And then they go into Israel Independence Day.
So basically you're respectful and you pray and you're... remembrance, and then we celebrate.
Yeah, but so it kind of goes in stages, right? First, you memorialize, you think back of the people whom we lost during the Holocaust,
and then
we think about the soldiers whom we lost.
Right, right.
And the creation of Israel.
Okay.
And then we celebrate.
Yes.
It's a party. Yeah, that's the fun one. So
that would be Thursday, May 5th, Israel Independence Day.
And so there's a whole thing always at the JCC. Okay. Lots of fair. And then on Sunday, there's a fireworks show.
Woohoo! Fireworks! Hold on.
What's this Lego Builders?
May 5th. They sent that to us. There's like, it's like a, I mean, it's big. It's like a big display. They do these, takes them like months. Like
that's
they have
exciting.
Like
the
White House. The
JCC. Become a Lego master. Anybody that has kids or grandchildren, that'd be fun to do.
All right, starts Wednesday.
5 to 6 at the JCC. Okay. On,
I guess it's going on now.
Now, till the 25th.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know.
May 25th.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay.
All right, so we'll have to check that out.
It's a good week. Oh, and then look, the cemeteries are doing tours.
Yes, that's ongoing. Mm-hmm. That's ongoing. It's ongoing. So Jewish JCGC, Jewish Cemeteries, Cincinnati Cemetery Tours. Contact JCGC for available dates and times.
That's the acronym for Jewish
Cemeteries Greater Cincinnati.
Thank you. Okay, so this is a great article about JVS Career Services, which is a wonderful organization that helps get people to get jobs for people in our community and outside our community. So this story actually is about somebody that moved to Cincinnati.
Right.
And their significant other was coming with them, mm-hmm. But they didn't have a job. So it's about how Deidre Pohlmutter, if anybody doesn't know Deidre, she's incredibly helpful in helping people get jobs. And she helped get him a job.
Mr. Evan Marks, and he fell in love with Bree Duran, and as they say, the rest is history.
Yeah, and there's an upcoming wedding.
Oh, are they really?
Did it they says not? This in the over here. A successful move to Cincinnati and his upcoming wedding with Bree.
Oh,
it's a cute picture.
That's nice.
Yeah, nice. It's a good feel good story and a whole bunch of not so.
Well, there's a lot of, well, the news is the news. Pam wants all this happy news in here, and there's like, it's reality news, okay? It's not always happy news. Sometimes you have to deal with the regular news.
Unfortunately, it's too much of it.
Yes, okay.
Okay, so tell us about Lag BaOmer.
Oh, well, Lag BaOmer is the date, that's the 33rd day. So we started counting the Omer on Sunday, the day after Passover. All right, so there's 8 days. There's the first 2 days you go, and then the last 2 days you go, and after the last 2 days, which was Friday, Saturday, then you start counting the Omer. And the Omer is the counting of the 49 days. It's either 49 or 50. I'm not a rabbi, and I don't claim to play one on TV either. So I'm sure someone's out there saying, well, you don't know what okay. So 49 days later, after the counting of
we
the
should have subtitles.
Omer means
we do not. Nothing we say is necessary.
We always say that anyway.
If it's written down, that's true. If we say it, we're.
It's more legitimate.
Audit facts,
more legitimate. So these the opinions on this show are just those of the speaker.
There you go.
And they are not those of the American Israel. So the Omer is called the counting. Omer is count, to count, and there's a counting. And so we count 49 days until Shavuos. When we receive the Torah at Mount Sinai.
Okay, so this picture is, so this is a lunch and
yes,
learn.
Yes, yeah, this is actually a funny, yeah. It's actually pretty funny.
So it's a lunch and learn at the Skirball Museum.
Right, right.
With Dr. Jordan
Finken, who is our Yiddish writer. He's our Yiddish columnist.
I love it when they connect.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's May 3rd from noon to
Tuesday. It's coming up Tuesday.
Okay, but it's like.
From noon to 1:30, which
is. It's artists, but it's like old. With contemporary, so this is a photo of like a medieval picture.
Yeah, it's like medieval.
With a hairdryer.
Right, Mark Podwall did this. It's called Lag BaOmer Archival Print. He's an artist, and so this guy is getting he's got a beard, long beard and long hair, and he's getting a haircut on Lag BaOmer, and then the barber has a hairdryer. So it's kind of making, it's kind of like back and
it's like. It's like those pictures you have to say, what's off of this picture?
Yes,
find,
yes,
you know, yes. Circle the, like from People Magazine, circle the things that don't belong.
Oh, so Pam is, so now you're telling us you read a lot of People
Magazine.
When
I was younger, I don't know.
When you were younger, okay. All right. All right, and so then below that, there is a regional story about a rabbi getting in a little trouble.
Yeah, that's a terrible story.
Yeah, it's
terrible.
That's not right. Moving right along. Yeah. Moving right along.
Yeah, okay. And then we had some basically
more
bad news
going on. Yeah, there's been a lot of attacks lately in Israel, and
the headlines don't necessarily.
Right, the U.S. State Department calls on Israelis and Palestinians to cease escalation of violence, but it really hasn't been the Israelis that have been causing the violence.
Yeah.
And I was saying before that this is, you see a photo of the entrance to the Temple Mount. And when I was there in 98, the first time I went to Israel, I went up to the mosque, and then you go in and you go down these steps, and that is where the Holy of Holies was. And there's like, that's the Dome of the Rock. There's a rock there, and you can see in the rock the indentation in the rock where the Ark of the Covenant was, and they kept putting it in and out, and there's indentation in the rock of where it's real. I was blown away. I mean, it was so overwhelming when you see that. It's like, wow, this is history. This is everything. And but there have been a lot of people doing things they shouldn't be doing. Let's put it that way. There's some other interesting stories, national stories on 8, couple on 8, couple on 9. There's some international stories. In the United Arab Emirates, which is made up of Dubai and Abu Dhabi, there was 1,000 people took part in a history-making Seder on April 15th.
What is that, matzah? Like,
that's
homemade matzah?
That's shmura matzah. That round matzah is called shmura matzah, which is shmura means overseen.
Oh.
If you look to the right there, they're making it. So you can get this kind of shmura matzah at Costco.
Oh, they sell them.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, yeah. That's, I eat a lot of that stuff during Passover. I eat shmura.
And, is it better than?
Well, Yehuda, actually, that the square matzah is probably the best tasting matzah if you're going to eat matzah.
Yeah,
Yehuda's
yeah.
good.
Okay.
Shmura, it tastes different. Now, some people get Lakewood, they get stuff out of Chicago, they get stuff out of New York, Lakewood, New Jersey. Different people I know get, they have it trucked in. I mean, they'll buy a case.
Well, what's the appeal to it?
Huh?
What's the appeal?
Well, they like the taste of it. And some is really thin. I mean, really thin. And it tastes really, they like the taste of it.
Let's try it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's try it, yeah.
Well, that's nice. That was good. That was happier news.
All right.
Yep. This is online.
And another international story on 10.
And what is that? An online rabbi helps Jewish Ukrainian refugees feel comfortable in Moldova shelters. Well, I mean, that's a good feel. That's
yes.
a good story.
Yes.
We have some more international.
Yes.
Anything to call out? State agency adds Ukrainian Jewish leader to list of Russia traitors. Oh, that was the one I was like, ugh, more bad news.
So okay. The Ukrainian government has placed Vadim Rabinovich, a lawmaker and Jewish community, on a list of over 100 people it called traitors in the war with Russia. The list was published last week by Ruk Chesno, a non-government organization dedicated to promoting honest governance, Ukraine's National Agency for Prevention of Corruption.
Okay, but then Russia, all of the leaders of Russia should be on that list.
Yes, probably. They should. There's an ongoing war going on in Ukraine to this day, and it still hasn't ended.
Terrible.
There's still no ceasefire.
It's terrible. Our community has raised a lot for the support of the Ukraine, and I believe that they're going to start to open up that we can bring Ukrainian refugees. Oh, you don't. Yeah, that's good. Ukrainian refugees into the United States.
Are you giving us some, what do you?
No, because I'm like, I know how you feel about.
No, I think the Ukrainians probably should. I think they're coming to Cincinnati too.
Yeah,
I
know. That's what we're trying.
Okay.
And Jewish Family Service has done a lot of seminars to try to help people figure out how we can bring Where are they going to stay?
I mean, initially.
A lot of people in our community have reached out to Jewish Family Service and Federation and volunteering, including our own Julie Brooks. She wants to host a family. Yeah.
Okay.
When they get here, if they get here, yeah.
Okay, so they'll be here, I would think, in the next couple of weeks.
If people want to host a family, please reach out to Jewish Family Service or Federation.
That's news. That's news that we didn't know about.
Yeah.
Okay. So the heirs of on page 12, the heirs of the Holocaust victims sue Israel Museum over rare medieval Haggadah. So according to this lawsuit, it's called the Bird's Head Haggadah. It's on display at the Israel Museum. According to the lawsuit filed in a state court in Manhattan last week, the Haggadah rightfully belongs to the heirs of Ludwig Marum, M-A-R-U-M, Marum, a German Jew who served in Germany's parliament until 1933 when the Nazis arrested him. They murdered him in April of 1934, making him among the earliest victims of the Holocaust.
Okay, well, what makes this sad is that
His late daughter. Okay.
The Marum's late daughter, Elizabeth Lune,
she inherited
given her permission to the museum to keep the manuscript.
Okay. She didn't inherit it. It was taken from him.
Uh-huh.
And then it wound up in the Israel Museum.
She visited the museum writing a letter saying that the Haggadah should remain in the museum for the benefit of the public. But then it was unfortunate that 40 years ago, after Elizabeth Luna wrote to the Israel Museum that the Haggadah should remain in its collection, her daughter, niece, and nephews are suing the museum.
All right, so supposedly the Marum descendants say the Haggadah is worth $10 million. A Jewish prayer book from the same era with similar illustrations was sold last year for over $8 million.
That's a lot of money.
So they basically are suing just to either get...
I hope it's not for money.
Versus, you mean, for who actually owns it.
Meaning, yeah. Because that's just...
Actually, last weekend I was watching, I think it's on Sunday, I watched The Lady in Gold, the movie, which is...
What's it?
So that's the Klimt, the Klimt that was bought by Ronald Lauder, Estee Lauder's son, in New York. It's at the new museum, NEU.
Right.
And so it went back and forth. It was in Austria. It was taken from this woman's, I'm remiss to remember her name, and it was in her family, the Bauer Block family, and I think it was owned by her father or some uncle or something like that, and it was taken by the Nazis, and Randy Schoenfeld, who is married to Pam Mayers from Mayers Electric in Cincinnati, Howard and Marlene, their daughter is married to Randy Schoenfeld, who was the attorney that did the lawsuit and won. And he's played by Ryan Reynolds in the movie. And Helen Mirren is the daughter that actually inherited it. And that was I never watched the whole movie, and I actually watched the whole movie this time.
It was on
PBS, I think.
PBS, okay.
It was on PBS, and... really, it's a fascinating movie the Klimt painting sold for like $135 million. Austria kept saying, "Well, we want to keep it in Austria." Well, blah blah blah, and then they kept winning these suits, and they're like, "Well, we'll give you like a couple $1 million just to settle this. We want to keep it in Austria." And she said, "No, I left Austria because you chased me out, and it's going with me to America." And that was a choice you made because you wouldn't settle with me for like 10 years. I mean, she went on and on and on. She kept winning. And eventually was sold for $135. And it's now at the NEU, the new museum by Ronald Lauder in New York. It's beautiful. Klimt is one of my favorite. I mean,
I'll have to watch that.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's on.
It's an interesting movie. So, all right.
Did you know it was coming on? Like, did we just
Was like clicking around and I saw it and I was like, "Well, this is kind of interesting."
Yeah, you were lucky.
Yes, I.
When
was.
That hardly ever happened.
All right, so with some more Israel news on page 13. Check that out. And then around the community, there was a father and son Shabbos at the Yeshiva Lubavitch of Cincinnati, and it was the weekend of the ice storm.
Oh, that was the weekend of the ice storm.
Ice storm, and everybody made it in.
Wow, they got a big crowd.
Yeah, they got a big crowd, and they're from all over the country, these kids.
Canada. They're cute little kids. The regular looks yummy.
The regular does look really tasty. All right, so then we move on to opinion.
There's a lot of pictures of them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
It's a big room?
Yeah, it's a big room, yeah. All right, so you wanted to do this year, I am a refugee spending a joyful Passover in Berlin. Next year, yeah. Kharkiv.
Yeah, so this is by Terry Suskin.
No, you're at the Letters Theater, I'm sorry. I read the opinion piece.
Oh, you wanted to do the, did you want to talk about I am a refugee spending a joyful in Kharkiv? What did you want to say about that?
Well, I guess they were living there, and they had to get out because of the war, and they're hoping that they can go back next year when the war is over and be in Kharkiv again.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do, but the place is so...
It's probably destroyed. It's like all bombed out.
How is it ever going to be
right. Restored? It's going to be years and years.
It's just the whole... That's unbelievable.
All right, so you want to talk about Terry Suskin's letter.
Yeah, so Terry wrote a letter about bail reform, and she quoted Leviticus, "You shall not render an unfair decision. Do not favor the poor or show deference to the rich. Judge your kinsmen fairly." Mm-hmm. It's a basic tenet of Jewish upbringing. It instructs me to pursue justice. It is, be it social, economic, or legal justice. My community is charged with joining all people working toward a fair world. Mm-hmm. And our world is a tough order. I was a toddler when Israel was born in 1948. My father had returned from the army after the Second World War ended. We moved from Columbus to Cleveland suburb. Life went on, but all eyes were on the horrors of the Holocaust. Anguish, rescue, resettlement, and hope. My parents joined local and international efforts to assist refugees and sought out organizations determined to ensure that attitudes and events that led to these terrors would be harder to hide and easier to conquer. They said that what our faith demanded of each of us was responsible for the other. In that pursuit, I engaged and struggled with a wide range of issues, sometimes feeling overwhelmed by them. Where does one begin? And once there, what efforts are meaningful and helpful? You know, we talked about that at our Passover Seder. We did. Like, it's very, like, what can we do to help? Education is key, but in this lifelong pursuit of trying to understand issues and joining forces with others who care, it wasn't until recently I learned of a matter of which I was embarrassingly unaware, that inequities inherent in our judicial bail system. This matter is important because on any given day in Ohio, as many as 12,000 people are held in jail before a trial because they can't afford bail. I began by seeking information within Ohio communities, and here's what I learned. The inability to raise bail poses insurmountable challenges to people who are poor and in most cases black. In just 3 days in jail awaiting a hearing, a person may lose their job, home, ability to support their family in custody of their children. Their personal appearance resulting from even a short incarceration can negatively influence their hearing. What's of utmost importance is that this devastating ripple effect of being held in jail pretrial impacts the people who are legally innocent and have not been convicted of a crime. In addition, without the ability to post bail, a person arrested may be encountered to plead guilty just to be encouraged to plead guilty just to be released, despite the destabilizing effects that jail time could have on their family, employment, and future ability to function in society. I learned, too, that 72% of Ohio voters agree that our current criminal justice system needs reform, and 67% of voters believe in reforming cash bail so that we can ensure that every Ohioan is treated fairly, regardless of skin color and ability to pay. Bail reform is not moral. It is popular. With the Republican and Democrat support, recently introduced pieces of legislation, the Ohio Senate Bill 182 and Ohio House Bill 315 offer a path toward rectifying the inherent unfairness in our wealth-based bail system. For example, these bills would require hearing on release options and conditions in front of a judge within 48 hours, and they would create a release path for those who are not a threat to go home the same day as their arrest. Justice is not easy to obtain. It takes work among ourselves and with our legislators. But as these bills demonstrate, there are Ohioans interested in fairness. Fairness is key to our religious tradition. At the Passover Seder in Jewish households throughout the world, each adult drinks 4 cups of wine, the poorest and the wealthiest among us. 4 cups, with the community ensuring that the poor partake too. This is one tradition that reminds us that we all have been blessed with the gift of creation. And with that gift, it is incumbent upon us to live by the and pursue what is equitable and just. Well done. Well said, Terry. I applaud that. Can we applaud that?
Okay. I'm not going to say anything about how this is kind of a political letter to the editor. It's political in certain ways because there's people running for Supreme Court. Oh, so what's you're going to present the other side too?
No. Well, Terry I'm saying what I read from Terry.
Huh? All right. Well, I could see that. The problem is if someone's arrested on Friday or Saturday and the courts don't open till Monday, then you've got kind of a problem.
I can see that.
All right. I think that there are judges and attorneys that do go to court on Saturday and Sundays.
I'm sure there are.
Yeah. So that they're getting to hear an initial hearing for them.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Usually when it gets to political stuff, I think the paper's always been somewhat neutral. We've always been neutral. We don't, endorse anybody. We don't recommend anybody, and we don't take sides. We're like Switzerland.
And you know what? If somebody has different opinion, they can submit something next week, right?
Yes, they're entitled to. Yep. And there probably will be someone that will submit something.
Okay, let's have the conversation.
All right, that's fine. Okay, so Shabbat. So
I thought you wanted to do test your Torah knowledge. I thought that's always interesting.
No.
Okay, we're moving on.
No. Check it out. Torah knowledge is on page 19. And now we get to, drum roll please.
Pages, from the pages.
From the pages. All right, so Jewish Bicentennial. Each week, the American Israelite will print one milestone related to the history of the Cincinnati Jewish community over the last 200 years provided by the Cincinnati Jewish Bicentennial Committee. Each milestone weaves Jewish history within the greater context of our community's development and our country at large. So this is very important. Listen up. In 1917... Frank's Red Hot Sauce goes on the market. Now, most of you have seen this commercial where it says, I put that on everything. Okay.
Can you do that? What is this?
I put that on everything. So Judy is over here laughing at my description here, and it's not funny.
Shaking her head, too. Judy, you're talking about it. I encourage laughing.
Okay, we heard a laugh track there. So it's really, and you're in marketing, so it's like one of the most brilliant. It's like, what's that? Like, where's the beef?
Oh yeah.
What's there? Some other ones that are going on right now that you remember these things. Like, but one of the Franks is, I put that. You know, it's Grandma. Grandma is saying it. Grandma's like, I put that on everything, and. It's really tasty hot sauce. That's Frank's, and that's from Cincinnati, Ohio. Yep. Cincinnati, Ohio. Little Cincinnati, Ohio.
Another staple.
Okay, all right, so 125, you want to do the ladies' column.
Okay, so this is funny. Miss Daisy Dorothy Barbie, a young woman about 26 years of age, is St. Louis's only practicing woman lawyer. Huh.
Well, that was 125 years ago.
That's amazing for Miss Daisy Dorothy. She is regarded with interest by some of the, I find that word interesting, some of the leading members of the bar. She believes in dress reform to a degree, in a measure. She has been too busy to know whether she likes society or not, which is my favorite line. She believes in marriage under favorable conditions, which is also really important to note. What does that mean, favorable conditions? And I think I told you, it made me think of my grandmother who didn't want to marry my grandfather during the war because she was the first woman to graduate from the school of DAP at UC.
Okay.
And she wanted to get a job, and she knew if she was married, difficult. She wouldn't have been able to get a job.
because they would think she's going to have children.
Well, they would. It was like one. The man got the job, and they, of course, when everybody came back from the war, they gave
jobs to the men.
Back to the men. And okay. Then she got married.
Now, did she get? She did get a job.
Yeah, she did work, and then, okay. But then when they fired her because they had to give it to the men, and she. Okay, let me go on. And makes a point of regarding two novels a week as, she read two novels a week as recreation. She is giving her attention to some important civil cases and has already achieved distinction enough to make her mark for the
epistolary efforts
of cranks all over the country.
So,
what was that?
The cranks must have heard about her being the first female attorney in St. Louis. And must have made some waves about her doing that, I would think.
Well, she's an incredible woman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good for her.
All right, so 100 years ago, this is actually very relevant today. The publishers of the American Israelite newspaper desired to engage a traveling subscription solicitor, woman preferred, must be of good appearance and have a knowledge of matters Jewish. Salary and expenses paid. Engagement to begin September 1st. Address, the American Israelite, okay. Cincinnati, Ohio.
Ted.
So we are still looking for someone to go out and do some soliciting.
Women preferred a good appearance.
Well, it's like they're looking for someone that...
I mean, you know, they're looking for somebody to date.
No. Strictly to be... a salesperson for subscriptions.
Oh, because you want the good appearance that will help with the sale.
Yes,
okay.
All right.
Okay.
So you want to do any, do you have any for 75 or 100?
Well, I was just saw Hoffmeyer's name, Herbert Hoffmeyer. I don't know if he's related to Craig.
Yeah.
Cincinnati Social, Mrs. Janet, Season Good, Tibet. This is in 75
Hoffheimer,
years ago.
Hoffmeyer.
Yeah, Hoffmeyer.
Hoffheimer.
Hoffheimer.
Or married.
Yeah.
See, that would be...
would that be Craig's?
Craig Hoffheimer? Uh-huh. No, it might be Daniel Hoffheimer, who is a regular, our history writer here at the American Israelite.
Or maybe it's... Are they related, Craig?
It's quite possible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so 50 years ago, this is 75 years ago, Jewish hospital births included Mr. and Mrs. Robert Westheimer, Ruth Welling, 83 Central Terrace, Wyoming, Ohio, daughter.
My aunt and uncle live on Central Terrace. Like, they must, live next door, I think.
All right. Mr. and Mrs. Irvin Westheimer, 724 Clinton Springs Avenue. And are they, it doesn't say who, the paternal grandparents. All right.
Yeah.
And Mr. and Mrs. Lester Marks, Marjorie Fishbein, 30 Burton Lane, son, Friday, April 18th. It doesn't say who it was.
We don't know who it was. It was 1940. That was 1947. So there was a lot going on in the world, though, at that time.
All right. So 50 years ago, Mr. Leo Herman proudly, and probably Mrs. Leo Herman, proudly announced the forthcoming bar mitzvah of their son, J.D. Herman. J. Herman, Saturday, April 29th at 9 a.m. at Ohio Shalom Synagogue, 1834 Section Road. J. is the son of late Mrs. Leo, which has been his wife, Sylvia Herman, and the grandson of Mrs. Fanny Diner, D-E-I-N-E-R, Diner, and Mrs. Bernard Herman, and the late Mr. Bernard Herman, all of Cincinnati.
That's always Mrs. Bernard.
Mrs. Bernard, sorry. And so I know Jay, knew Jay. Jay Herman passed away a couple years ago. So we want to wish him...
a blessed memory.
Yeah, a blessed memory. All right. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. So we're moving right along. We've got Jews in the news and today in Israel history.
Yeah,
there's a couple things. So yeah. April 30th, 2003, the Peace Road Map is issued.
Which is interesting because it's a quartet of the United States, Russia, and European Union, and then United Nations issues its roadmap for peace, which... would have been nice if it would have stayed a framework for talks to achieve two-state solution between Israel and Palestinians. The plan comes amid the violence of the second Intifada. Israel lists 14 main concerns with the roadmap, but like the Palestinian Authority, commits to trying to make it work. Hamas rejects it. Talks under the plan make no progress. That was big when that happened.
All right. So also, we'll do May 5th. 1985, President Ronald Reagan lays a wreath and makes brief remarks outside of the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp, then delivers a speech focusing on German-American reconciliation at the World War II military cemetery in Bitburg, where more than 2,000 members of the Nazi SS are buried. Reagan faced criticism from American Jews, including Elie Wiesel, after announcing the Bitburg plans in April. Bergen-Belsen was a late addition to his itinerary.
Okay.
All right.
I find in that history news interesting in context too to what's changed and what's the same.
All right. So dining out, Rhino's kosher soft-served yogurt. It's a fine, fine place to be on a hot summer day.
Where is it?
It's on page
Kenwood.
22.
No, it's on Kenwood Road.
It's in the Shell Station on Kenwood and...
Oh, it's in the Shell Station.
Yeah,
oh.
Kenwood and Pfeiffer.
Okay, yeah, I know where that
the
is.
Shell Station right there.
Yeah, yeah,
you
know
go
exactly
right in there.
Is. Yeah.
That's where it's inside of there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's very tasty.
Okay.
Very tasty.
Got some restaurants.
Right. Yeah, we do restaurant reviews. And also this week is a sports columnist by Richard Katz, attorney. And he talks about how the NFL is constantly doing marketing year-round, which has built up their brand. Because, like, during the baseball season, you have baseball starts up opening day and then ends with the World Series. They don't do year-round marketing, or even the NBA or different sports leagues. But the NFL does year-round stuff, and it keeps everybody in tune with what's going on in the NFL. And the draft, like I know about the draft, is coming up, I think, starting this weekend. Maybe even, I think, today. And it goes on for a couple of weeks, so everybody will be looking forward to, like, who will be the first-round draft pick of the Super Bowl attending Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, that's all hope. It says that it has been reported that the NFL has signed media rights deals through 2033 with SB. ESPN, ABC, all of them.
Oh, yeah.
For over $110 billion.
That's quite a bit of money.
I mean, I think that they also...
That's like a per
they
year,
have
almost $10 billion a
year. They have a huge marketing budget.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine how much fun that would be to play with?
Yes. All right. Dr. Ken Mangus has his psychologically speaking column in this week.
Yeah, so it's about communication. Huh? It's easier said than done. So
yes, it is.
I guess talks about, I mean, I had this one question kind of gives you an idea about what he talks about is how do you use your glasses when you communicate?
Mm-hmm.
Do you look over your rims, which for some suggests being professorial, and even elitist? Do you chew your eyeglass stems as a means of gathering your thoughts as you ponder what to say? What are you communicating consciously or unconsciously as you fiddle, clean, or touch your eyeglasses?
Hmm.
Yep.
So we all have like body psychology.
Yeah, but that's it. It's got to be about the psychology over the neuroscience.
Body.
Here's, I want to fully read this. I've skimmed it. Oh,
all right,
do?
So we are now at death notices. And we'll do the obits after, but Harlene Nee Goldfarb Schatz. Harlene Schatz passed away age 84, April 24, 2022. And that should not be 123 of Nissan. It should be the 23rd of Nissan. There's a mistake there. 5782. And Barbara Susser, age 93, April 23rd, 2022. 22 Nissan, 5782. So Barbara Susser has a obit this week, and she was a very nice lady. And she has a connection to Cincinnati. She grew up here, so may her memory be for a blessing. Mm-hmm.
She was 93.
Yeah,
lived a long life.
So you had seen the Marvin Chomsky.
Mm-hmm.
Was the director of the influential TV miniseries Holocaust. I don't remember that. It was from like 1978.
Yep.
I don't remember what that was. I might have to go check it out.
I did not know what it was. I was 9 years old.
You were how?
Nine.
Nine?
Mm, yep.
All right. The auto issue is coming fast. That's coming up June 2nd. Deadline is May 27th. So if you want to buy an ad, let us know.
Nice ad. And then
right.
The Federation's annual meeting Woo-hoo! Is on May 18th at 7 p.m. at the Mayerson JCC. It's in person.
Yes.
And this is our first in-person event.
2 years.
In a long time.
2 years.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of people there. Last I looked at registration, I think we had over 175.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to be recognizing Patty Hellman for the Volunteer of the Year Award and Wendy Walsh from the Valley Temple. She's our administrator at Valley Temple. She's being recognized as the Senior Avada Award. And I should say that Patty's being recognized for many professional leadership roles, but she's currently the chair of the board for the Jewish Home of Cincinnati. And, of course, Jackie Conjato from the Federation, our JCRC director, she is going to be recognized as our Junior Avada Professional Award. Okay. So a lot of really amazing women, actually, that have helped do good work.
All right, so we move on to, wait a minute, drum roll, please. Bad joke of the week.
We got to, like, somebody's got to give us some good ideas of a better book to buy you.
Okay, we got some new books. Okay. They just haven't, like, checked them out yet, I don't
okay.
think.
Okay.
All right, are you ready? Mm-hmm. Are you ready, Jeff? Bad joke of the week? Okay, so this is from the Encyclopedia of Jewish Humor from Biblical Times to the Modern Age, compiled and edited by Henry D. Spaulding. Jackie came home from school one day to find his mother in a new mink coat. Gosh, Mom, that poor animal must have suffered terribly just so you could have a fur coat. Why, Jackie, exclaimed the mother, shocked. What kind of way is that to talk about your father? Okay. Do you have a mink coat? No, you wouldn't wear a fur because I know.
But the problem is I have fur. So many.
Oh, my God,
them.
Your fur. You have fur.
I have so many fur coats from.
Oh, you do?
Passed down to me.
Inherited?
Yeah. I don't know what to do with them.
Well, I would make them into like a rug or something. But
yeah. Maybe I make it. I don't know what to do with them. You know, you will find me wearing them on a very cold winter day.
Are they really? Like, are they that 10 warm? PM.
Oh, they're the only thing that keep me warm when I walk the dogs.
So oh, yeah.
I have to like, and I try to, I don't like people to recognize me when I'm wearing it. But I do it at
now.
Did night.
Elaine see you in one of those? Is that anyway, real fur?
I walked
is that real fur?
At one, she, oh yeah, she
was. Funny Elaine saw that. You yeah. and like yeah. gave you a hard time.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to see me.
Okay, all right. So we want to thank everybody for joining us today. It's been a wonderful day here at the American Israelite, and we want to. So I'm when you're thank you for your co-hosting duties.
Always
Pam Geller.
Always a pleasure to banter with Ted.
All right. So it's been a good day. So everybody check out the paper this week, and we will see you next. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds wonderful. Everyone right. Have a good weekend. Shabbat Shalom.